Hello, listeners. This is producer John. Open Pike Night is going to be at Trek Long Island 2024. From May 31st to June 2nd, Cameron and myself, producer John, will be in the Big Apple living long and prospering. We'll be hosting a panel. We'll be giving out stickers. We will have our microphones. Be sure to follow Open Pike on social media and subscribe to openpike.substack.com because we also will be giving away some Trek Long Island weekend passes. Trek Long Island is May 31st to June 2nd at the Hyatt Regency in Hopog, New York. Hello, Open Pike listeners. This is producer John. We wanted to unlock our episode 1 coverage for Discovery Season 5 for everyone to hear. This is something that's usually exclusive to just our patrons, so if you're interested in hearing the rest of our thoughts on this season, as well as the previous Lower Decks Season 4 and some other fun extras, head on over to patreon.com/openpike and check it out. You can hear all of these episodes on a dedicated RSS feed for as little as $2 a month. This is a listener-supported show. We are not sponsored and we are not part of a network, and that is how we can keep bringing you great content and interviews and episode reviews the way we love to. So enjoy our coverage of Discovery Season 5, Episode 1.
Welcome to Open Pike Night, bonus patron coverage of Star Trek Discovery Season 5, the final season. I will be your host this evening, Jesse Bailey, and producer John is currently away on a Red Directive mission, but that is not going to stop him from having input on our discussion of Season 5, Episode 1, Red Directive. Now, of course, with me is host of Green Shirt, A Newbie's Trek Through the Next Generation, Cameron Harrison. Cameron, I have to ask, how do you feel about Discovery Season 3 and 4 now that you've binged them?
Oh, man. Well, first, I just want to go back real quick. Back on April 1st, I saw a whole news story about how Discovery is getting more seasons after this. And I mean, it looked legit to me, so I don't know what you're talking about. You know, back on April 1st, I think that was Monday, right? April 1st.
Yeah. The same day that the news that the upcoming eclipse had changed paths.
John tried with me. Maybe there was a nanosecond where I was like, huh? And then,
that
yes.
Seems wacky.
As you know, I've always kind of felt that seasons 1 and 2 of Disco were kind of a pitch in search of a premise. For it never quite worked for me, but yeah, last month I watched season 3 and then hardcore binge season 4 in the past 5 days to get ready for this. And I gotta say, it was started winning me over. I mean, I enjoyed 3, and I think I enjoyed 4 most of all. By the end, it got me.
Very good to hear. 4 was probably the most emotional season for me.
So I mean, yeah, I think it was when I was tearing up at the end. I was like, all right, you know, I've got my complaints, but I'm getting misty-eyed here, so I can't complain too much. So I had high hopes going into 5. I was hoping it would continue that trajectory. And we'll get there.
We will. And one other fun little twist, or I guess I should say one fun little saucer spin that we have on our coverage for Discovery Season 5 is that because this show is lovingly called Disco, we thought, hey, what if we bring some music with us to help us pay musical homage to the show that is Disco? So you will hear some fun choices from us each episode of a song that we think really encapsulates that episode. So
not just Disco songs. I don't know that many Disco songs, so it's all music.
I was gonna say I think I know more songs with the word Disco in them than actual Disco songs personally. It's not my generation, no shade. I believe Disco will never die.
I like Disco, but yeah, I know the big ones, but I couldn't name any others.
So right off the top, I have to say, I know that the Trek intro logo is like a very simple thing, but man, it is so effective. Just seeing a different ship be a part of that Delta swooshy flyby makes me so giddy. And I'm happy that Discovery gets to be a part of that before it goes.
It's the small things. Yeah, for sure.
For me, Discovery continues to be, I don't know, maybe one of the most visually arresting things Trek has ever done. And I love a good Burnham in a suit sequence. Like, we get one of those, at least one of those, every season. It's intrinsic to Discovery's DNA, and wow. Like, what a start.
A space suit or, like, a three-piece suit?
Any suit.
Any suit.
Like, but specifically, yes, a space suit. Okay. Like, seeing her in the Red Angel suit in the final battle of season two was so good. Mm-hmm. Watching her crash in her suit in season three. I just, to put her on the back of a ship and have her surfing at warp is a bananas choice, and I'm absolutely here for it. And this was like the preview clip for Discovery season five. So I was really happy that it wasn't from like episode five or six. Like, when this episode started, I was like, I know almost nothing about this, and I'm very happy about that. What did you think about the ship surfing?
The ship surfing, I immediately thought of whichever James Bond movie it is that opens with him surfing. Maybe there's even two. Was there a Daniel Craig and a Pierce Brosnan one that had surfing Bond? Anyways, I thought, yes, that's bananas. And then my next thought was, but unlike those Bond movies, I'm buying it here. I'm good. It worked for me. Yeah, it was like, okay, this is the type of season we're in for. I'm here for it.
Somehow it fits better that she would be in space inside a collapsing warp bubble.
You know, you're like, can they do that? Sure, why not? I don't know why they can. Yeah.
They're doing it. I guess it's possible. Yeah, and having the, like, there's some very subtle lines that indicate, like, warp bubbles merging and getting really close to each other and stuff, which, I mean, this whole sequence has got to be, what, like 80% AR wall or something? But, like, very, very effective. It really reminded me, not to keep going back to it, but that shot of Burnham in the suit with the sparks hitting her visor. I think it's from season two. I was just like, oh, I'm so ready for this.
And I am always a sucker for like a 4 hours earlier type of cold open. Anytime you do that, like you've got me at least. You've got my curiosity.
We immediately get this flashback to this like Federation party. And we get not only a Jumja Stick shout out, but we see Lurians in the background, the same species as Morn. I think he would be proud that the Lurians made it.
He was in season four a lot too. Not Morn, but that species.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We also what I noticed from this party scene is they're dropping the L word, Saru and his Vulcan lady friend. I'm sorry, I forget her name, but that was one of my favorite subplots of season four, and it's just getting better already in season five.
Yeah, Tarina and Saru might be my favorite Disco ship. I'd have to like make a list and look at it, but I really do love them.
They're great.
And you know me, I'm a sucker for branding. Having a blue cocktail that has little stars in it, like the Federation flag.
That was good.
Totally works for me. Very subtle detail, when they all raise their glasses to toast, you can see the circular light in the table reflected in the glasses, and it looks like the olive branches on the Federation logo. Like, just absolute chef's kiss moment. Like, they are going all out with the details and the little callbacks this season, which, of course, is something that we will get into. Did you have anything else from this Federation party?
Nope. Just we get that red directive, and oh my god, I am so glad that we've already got more Dr. Kovich, because, I mean, yeah, my favorite part of seasons three and four, and continues to be so. We actually get to see him on a mission.
Right. And I've been kind of wondering since he was introduced, like, is he a sentient hologram?
Yeah.
Is he some kind of android? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the deal with him? But, like, he seems to be affected by physical shifts on the ship, so that's probably a good sign that he's at least somewhat real.
Just a really in the know human.
And he's high up. Like, for him to be able to tell an admiral, like, sorry, this is above your pay grade, is, I mean, that's a rank that I don't even know the name of, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I personally cannot get over is that as soon as Burnham is put in a dangerous situation where she knows combat is plausible, she brings Owoshakun with her. Owoshakun is one of my favorite Discovery characters. She kicks absolute ass, and I'm really glad that she gets to go with on this mission. And, you know, I gotta say, it's really good to see Daft Punk reunite to play villains this season. That was great to see.
I did get a Daft Punk vibe from them for sure. Almost thought of a Daft Punk song for the second part, but I wound up not going with it.
Oh, man. Now I feel like I should have. So, okay. We meet Locke and Maul, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we think Locke might be a changeling? Because he's got a very specific look to him, but when he first takes his helmet off, you can see straight through this guy.
Hmm.
He's like fully transparent and a little gooey.
Hmm. I don't know if I noticed that.
It's a thing I did not notice on my first watch, okay. I'll be honest. My first watch was like just looking through tears the whole time because I was so happy to be back here. But I just, to have this much happen before the theme song is a great sign, I think, for the season to come. Now, I do have to ask you.
Let's be fair. Disco likes to put their theme song like 15 and 20 minutes into an episode. So a lot can happen before the theme song in a Disco episode.
Yes, but Strange New Worlds has been doing it lately. Everybody I remember you mentioning it at least once or twice.
And I checked myself on the one. I came back and was like, okay, I guess it worked. So I'm not disparaging it.
Right, right. On the note of the theme song specifically, though, where would you rank the Disco theme song among the new Trek theme songs? Because for me, like, this might not be great for like branding on our show, but I think it's the best.
I like it.
Star Trek theme songs.
A lot. I like it a lot. I like Lower Decks a lot. It's up there. One or two, yeah.
I like Lower Decks a lot. I mean, I think all of the new Trek themes really capture the feel of their shows. The Picard theme changes between seasons. Spoiler alert, Cameron. It has the same, like, you know, makeup and DNA throughout all three seasons, but it does have some definite changes. For me, Disco, it manages to feel new while it plays homage to the TOS theme, and it has an energy about it, right? Mm-hmm. Just like all of Discovery does. It has this, like, this driving beat behind it, and that I'm a sucker for the mystery violin. Like, yes. I'll throw that out there.
I'll agree with that. And it's distinctive. Like, you hear it, and you're like, oh, hey, it's Disco.
So we almost right away, we remember and are told, in case for whatever reason this is your first dance with Disco,
mm-hmm.
that Michael Burnham is not the same as every other captain you've ever seen. We get this inversion of the captain not following their orders trope, right? So Michael is told, hey, don't worry about keeping your phasers on stun. And then, like, she disobeys orders in a de-escalatory fashion rather than like the opposite, right? Which is what you might expect from most sci-fi and most captains. Like, oh, they told us to take it easy, but we don't have time for that. She's the exact opposite of that. And it's part of what makes me love Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe, and this is not something I'm sure of, but I believe this Romulan ship, which, so happy to be on a Romulan ship. I'm nearly certain that it's a redressed Discovery set, but another thing I didn't notice until my second watch.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they just put like Romulan panels in the Disco hallways and it totally works. Like, I just didn't pick it up right away.
Worked for me.
And how happy are we to see the Romulan quilted shirts again?
Always so happy. Also, I mean, I'm just happy to see like desiccated corpses. So, you know, I'm
you've got a very specific checklist.
That's right. Also, any actress that reminds me of Brittany Murphy. So I'm doing good down here with Maul and the ship.
I just realized that's who Eve Harlow is reminding me of. Like,
definitely some hardcore early 2000s Brittany Murphy vibes.
Seriously, with the short, bright hair. Wow, I can't believe I didn't pick that up. I knew there was something. How did you feel about the Extendo phaser?
The Extendo. Yeah, it's fine. It's future fine. We'll call it that.
Right. Like, I think anywhere else I might feel it's a little cheesy. But here I was just like, yes, that makes sense. Like, you would just change whatever gear you have to suit whatever need you have.
Except, like, you think the small phaser could pack just as big a punch. Like, making it bigger. Like, it's advanced enough. It doesn't need to be bigger to be stronger. So.
Right. But, like.
But it's a fine moment.
Well, and as Boimler has, you know, espoused, two-handed phasers are cooler than one-handed phasers.
Sure. Like,
that's just all there is to it. It's a rule of cool thing.
Yeah.
Again, I know I already talked about Michael in the suit, but, like, having her go from walking around a corridor unmasked to falling through a hole in the hull while her suit just appears around her, like, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, it's not the first time we've seen it, but, like, yeah, it makes sense. It works. It's cool. I'm there for it. Good stuff.
Yeah, and she really has kind of that kind of Kirk energy, right? Like, I'll just do what I need to do to get this thing done. Like, don't beam me in. I got this. And it just, I'm really having a blast. Even just, you know, what are we, 15, maybe 20 minutes into this first episode?
Like, yeah.
So I have to ask you, Cameron, as a relatively recently educated Discovery viewer.
Diplomatic, yep.
Mm-hmm. Pacing is something that folks have complained about with this series. Like, it stretches sometimes, it lags sometimes, that kind of a thing. I feel like folks should be breathing a bit of a sigh of relief right about now. How did you feel about the pacing in this episode?
Well, in general, my problems with the pacing in Disco is the other way, that it's just too frenetic. That it doesn't take its time and stop and breathe and let us get to spend time with these characters, which is something that I think, again, seasons 3 and 4 started doing much better at. And so far, I'm very happy with season 5, even, yes, because a lot is happening in this first episode. That's fine. It's the first episode. Let's get us hooked. It got me hooked, but I still feel like we're getting these nice character beats as well, like with Saru and Tarina.
And a nice character beat from Sonic the Hedge Tribble. I don't know why that Tribble is on the ship, but I'm totally fine with it.
Is he a crew member now? What's going on with that Tribble?
For real, like, because he seems to have the run of the place. Like,
I was like, did I miss something about Tribbles in the future in the last couple seasons? What is happening? But I was fine with it. Yeah, hey, give me a Tribbles.
How did you feel about Tilly flirting with Mirror Jake Gyllenhaal?
I have sexy Jake Gyllenhaal written down, but yeah. That's 100%. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal's sexy. So that's telling you how sexy this, like, background actor is that Tilly is flirting with. Loved it. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. In this breakneck-paced pilot, we get times for moments like that. Loved everything with Tilly and sexy Jake Gyllenhaal.
Drunk Tilly is easily one of my favorite Tillys. I'm also a huge proponent of Mirror Tilly, or Killy, as she is affectionately called. Like, just the straightened hair is something that you don't expect when you see Tilly, and I was like, okay, I'm here for this. Like,
oh, yeah,
give me as much Killy as you can muster.
100%, yeah.
Okay, so you are known as being a little bit of a Star Wars fan, as well as a Trekkie, right?
It's true.
So
I may have a tattoo.
Would you say that this episode is the best use of speeder bikes since Return of the Jedi?
Could you give me other options? I feel like I've seen some other good speeder bike chases actually recently.
I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of maybe you could call pod racers like a speeder bike aesthetic. And I did like the pod race, but
was there a Marvel speeder bike at some point? Anyway, for some reason, I like these. They felt very motorcycle-y in a way that the speeder bikes don't really. They felt heavy and bulky and tangible, and yeah, I dug them, and they may play into my song pick.
Ooh, now
tease.
I'm intrigued.
I'm a tease.
I was intrigued before, but now, you know, detail intrigue is even better. So I know we're not necessarily supposed to right away, but I cannot help it. I love Rainer. I think he's a really fun character. He has like that, it's almost like Jellicoe energy, right? Like, he comes from that school of like, I don't want to talk about this, just get it done. But I like him way more than I ever liked Jellicoe.
I'd say he's the opposite of Jellicoe. I love Rainer written down like 3 times in my notes. Because Jellicoe comes off as an asshole, and you kind of have to go, wait, I have to look past his assholeness and see that he's actually right. With Rainer, he's just affable. I mean, he's grumpy, but in a fun way. He's like that, like a grumpy Hugh Grant. Like, you can't help but just want to spend time with him. But then you go, but he's being kind of a dick. And then you go, but he's not a total dick. So he's only like half. He's a half chub dick who's really funny. And those are some of my favorite characters. When he beams in and says the thing about, like, I love feeling like I just beamed into an awkward conversation. And then, right. The comedic gold of those awkward beats afterwards, I knew I was in love right then, that I was a Rainer fanboy forever.
I love that you managed to fit in Look Past the Asshole and Half Chub Dick in like our first 10 minutes of show for this season. That's
You're
pretty
welcome.
Impressive, man.
Welcome to the Open Pike Night Patron, everybody. We're on, you know, like when Comedy Central would allow the F-bombs after like 11
right.
p.m. back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now.
That takes me back. And it kind of makes me actually want to watch Mystery Science Theater. So if this were a prior season of Disco, which episode do you think this puzzle box would get opened in? Because it would not be episode one.
No. Four. I would say four. Maybe five.
I wrote down three or four at least, so I'm glad we're on the same page there. And I'm a little sad to see Fred the Android go so quick, because just his resemblance to Data raises a lot of really interesting questions.
Okay, because like, I felt like I was like not in on the joke because I haven't seen Picard yet. Like, I figured that was informing this. I love Fred. I loved his name was Fred. I love the Data illusions. I love the character. I'm a little sad how quickly he died, knowing that he's probably been around for like 600, 700 years. Loved everything about that. That was great.
And like, why does he look like him? Like,
Well, why wouldn't he? Like, if they were going to make other positronic androids, it would be similar in a lot of ways.
You got to watch Picard. I mean, I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on it, but also like, there's some androids in Picard that do not look like.
Well, I mean,
Data,
I know we meet Morsoon, so like, I figure that kind of came into play somehow.
Oh, that's a good point.
My one problem with Fred is not with Fred himself, but when they're reviewing the footage from his brain, I really want to see these files that they pull out of these android heads. I swear, when they're watching the slowed down flipping, like his fingers are not moving, like it would be blurry. Like you'd get like one frame of a clear page, but they're able to like say, no, slow it down. And anyway, small thing.
Well, he was probably shooting at what, like 1200 frames per second or something.
Faster
right?
than like, the actual filming camera they used. You're right.
To that point though, the obviously just fast forwarded footage of him flipping through the pages totally works for me. Like that's an absolute Data.
It was very Data. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many callbacks in just this first episode. I mean, thematic callbacks.
Self-sealing stim bolts.
Seriously. Like, they're connecting it to everything they can find. And, I mean, I'm not the kind of person that's like, it has to, you know, have those things for me to love it. But damn, do I love it when it does.
Oh, man. Well, and then I think they're just setting you up for the twist at the end of the episode, too, being like, hey, get ready. We're paying homage to the past in a big way. I picked up on a lot. I picked up on some definite allusions in the next episode. I definitely think we're going to be able to play, like, pick out your favorite callback this season.
There will be whole lists of episodes you're going to want to watch again after you watch an episode of Disco Season 5. Obviously, for this one, it's The Chase. I've already got an episode, a very good episode picked out for the next episode, but we'll wait until our next discussion to talk about that. Is there a law that sci-fi planets with a desert on them also have to have a spice market? Or is it just, are they paying respects to Arrakis, you know, more than they are deriving something from Dune?
Or are they paying respects to Star Wars, which was either paying respects or stealing from Dune. Like, yeah, it all comes back to Dune.
the choice between paying respect and stealing is totally up to you.
Look,
fans that are listening right
whatever
now.
Whatever universe you're in, the spice must flow, Jesse. It's the laws of science fiction. So we talked about, you know, them paying respects to things that have come from before in Star Trek, but can we talk about something I haven't seen in Star Trek that I fucking love?
Yeah.
Is the split screen.
Yes.
Oh, when they did that, that was cherry on top.
I don't know what the, is it pulp? Is that the word for
it's
it? Like,
pulp.
Or
the word that I kept coming back to, and I know we're doing a second episode for the second episode, but they aired back to back. So I watched them back to back. Fun. Everything so far in these two episodes is fun. They were having fun with that split screen. They're like, you know, we could do it. Let's do it. It'll be fun. And that was the energy I was getting from everything happening on my screen.
Absolutely agree. So there is a small detail here that I'm interested to know if you noticed. the gun that Book has, the phaser that he has, do you know who else was sporting that same kind of phaser earlier in the episode?
Well, I would guess it would have to be Maul.
It was Maul.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one of those things I didn't notice the first time I watched it. But I was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That is the exact same kind of phaser. It's got like that red barrel on the front of it.
Good catch. I'm glad that you're obsessed enough to watch these episodes twice, Jesse.
I have to, because I cannot take notes the first time. I have to just experience it, let it wash over me. So as you were saying earlier about Rainer, he is a jerk, but he's not without reason. Like, he does play both sides of the statistical coin here, right? Like, he's like, you know, I'm betting an avalanche isn't going to start. The chances of that are really low. But then he tells Michael, hey, the chances of catching them in atmosphere on their way off this planet are really low. So it's like, I guess you could say he's consistently sort of a pessimist, right? Like, he's always betting on the lower odds.
Yeah, that's true. My question is, sorry, you asked me about the bikes earlier. Where'd they get the bikes?
Yeah, did they replicate Book mentions renting them.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah. But like...
But they drove them into town, right?
Well, I think they transported to the edge of town and then rented bikes and they had them ready for when they left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I thought I saw them driving into town, but maybe I was just thinking of the trailers. Okay.
Yeah. Rainer mentions something about like, oh, you've already got bikes. And he says, yeah, we rented three. Let's go.
Gotcha.
So it's like, well,
okay. Never mind.
That's good foresight. So we got to talk about this Sandalanche, the way they stop it, and how good it feels to hear like 15 instances of I, Mr. Saru. Like, just hearing I, Mr. Saru does my heart so much good. Like, he's a captain, right? But we never really got to see him really be the captain for any extended period of time. So having like 10 or 12 different characters take orders from him gladly, something I really loved. Tell me what you feel about this avalanche and the way they stop it.
I guess I felt pretty fine about it. It didn't seem like they were up on a mountain, so I was kind of confused about how the avalanche was reaching the city. Like, it seemed like a pretty flat desert between the mountains and the city. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's on the slope. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I liked it all. I liked Rainer when he goes, shit, because so much about his character was said in that shit. His shit was full and nutty and meaty, and I'm just going to stop now with those adjectives. But you could tell that he's the type of person who is not going to do the wrong thing. Look, he's going to do the right thing. He is Starfleet, but he doesn't like being constrained by his morals sometimes.
He
can be a nuisance doing the right thing. He's still going to do it. So I love that. And yeah, stopping it. I'm always a fan of seeing the ships in atmosphere. So that was pretty cool. I liked how they were cleaning sand off it for days. I hope that's just like the entire season is them still cleaning sand off the ship.
Well, I got to agree on Rainer. Like, the way he breaks mid-conversation to say Antares fire, I'm like, oh, I'm here for this. That totally works for me. And, you know, yeah, the definite glamour shot of the ships hitting Atmo and all the people in the town being like, I'm sorry, what is happening right now? Like, should we be terrified? We feel like we should be terrified. And then they get saved from this natural disaster. Like, so after this, Discovery literally shakes the dust off as it returns to dry dock, as you mentioned. Just an absolute perfect visual metaphor for the long-awaited return and re-energized nature of Star Trek Discovery that you feel from this first episode. I love that Picard has become as important a figure in-universe as Spock. Like, of course he would. Why wouldn't he?
Like, I thought it was that they kind of were like a starship captain named Picard. Like, they just kind of like, right. You know, he's just a guy. He's one of our many captains in the past.
But the visual was like, they get like almost a little sepia tone. Like, there was definite reverence to put his face on the screen. I immediately watched The Chase again after this.
Nice.
And man, it has some serious connections, like not just the actual item, right? But like, Picard is talking about the artifact that he gets from Professor Galen, and he says it's all about the many voices within the one. Each person is a community of individuals, right? Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, that's exactly what everybody on screen is going through. They have all these things pulling them in different directions, and they have this mission in front of them. They have their own identities. Like, I'm blown away. I think this might be my favorite first episode of a season of Discovery since season one. I think it is.
If you go back and listen to Green Shirt's episode of The Chase, we covered it not too long ago. We talk a lot about how, one, we were bummed that there wasn't really much of a chase in The Chase. And so far, we're getting a chase in this season. So, like, on that hand, they're giving it to us. You'll also hear us talk a lot about how we wish that head episode had been a two-parter, maybe a three-parter. Maybe they should have made that episode the first Next Generation movie. And now it looks like they're kind of giving us a new version of The Chase as an entire season of Disco. And I'm here for that, 100%. So, yeah, excited. Did you know there was going to be a Chase connection when you started this episode?
I didn't. So, I was 100% convinced that the object that the Discovery crew would be chasing this season was the Tox Utat from the Captain's Holiday. Because, you know, they mentioned it's got connections to the past. It's a very powerful technology. And I'm like, didn't those aliens show up from the 30th century or the 31st century? So, like, I was convinced it would be the Tox Utat. And I'm honestly pretty happy to be incorrect about that.
I didn't watch our screeners till after they had sent us an email reminding us not to spoil the fact that it's connected to The Chase. So I was I was waiting for that. But, you know, you talked about Picard. What I thought when they were showing some of the old footage was they zoom in on the doctor who apparently, like, made this thing. And I was like, I wonder if, like, that background extra from the 90s had any idea. I'm hope he's still alive so he knows that, like, he's part of the MacGuffin for the final season of Discovery.
I did look up to see if it's the same actor. It's not. I mean, that might not be surprising, but I had to know, so I did look it up.
Well, what do you mean? Because they just zoomed in on the still from The Chase. Did they show an image of him somewhere else?
Yeah, he had, like a hollow journal, right?
That's
like,
right, yeah,
it's hollow journal. This.
Yeah, I figured it would be a different, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the guy would have to be in, like, his 70s or something at this point, right? Like,
people from that episode are still appearing in Star Trek shows, but...
Right, yeah. But as a background actor, you do wonder. So, I mean, I did look it up. It's not the same guy, but they did a great job. And again, just happy to see that those Romulan quilted shirts again. So as we, do you have anything else you want to get to before we get to the songs?
No, So, you know, I mean, there's a couple little bits of like forced exposition here and there. I feel like Burnham getting Dr. Kovich to give up the goods at the end was a little easy on her part, but, you know, that's stuff we got to get through to get on with the TV show. Overall, this episode was so much fun. I feel like almost any notes I had for Discovery leading up to the season feels like they're being addressed. Like, it's showing how you can have interpersonal conflicts and drama and obstacles without it feeling like trauma porn, without, like, every character having an existential crisis. It's fun. It's still meaty. There's still emotional stakes. There's still good stuff happening. I had so much fun with this episode.
I have to agree 100%. I'm, you know, pretty unreserved in my love for Discovery, but that doesn't mean that I don't think that it has flaws. I think every show has flaws. But yeah, I mean, it really feels like they went, okay, what are people's issues? Let's at least address those, and people can decide if they like it or not. So as we mentioned at the start of this episode, we have made some selections of music that we think really just encapsulate the feel and maybe sometimes even the plots of these episodes. And we're going to use them to put together a big long playlist that we just think will be fun to listen to as a way to reminisce about season 5 of Star Trek Discovery. So Cameron, I brought two song choices with me, so I am going to allow you to go first.
All right. I mean, this first one is not that good a choice. It's on one hand a little obvious, and on the other hand, really only two lyrics from it are applying to the episode. But I feel like the energy of it could work for this episode. I could see this song. I could hear it, like, laid over a couple of scenes from this episode. It would be Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive. On a steel horse I ride, wanted, dead or alive.
I like that.
It applies to two different characters, I know, two different sets of characters, but I'm there with it. I still want to hear it played over the action of this episode.
That's an edit I might make just for my own pleasure. I really like that pick. All right, so the first song that I brought with is pretty specific to Michael Burnham. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, what is Michael going through? What is she feeling? What kind of emotions is she having about this new mission and seeing Book again and these changes on her roster? And mine's also a little obvious. I went Red by Taylor Swift. Now,
okay.
As soon as I did that, I was like, wait a minute. There's another song that feels, you know, more true and maybe a little more all-encompassing in my heart. And that's the one that I'm going to pick. So we'll call Red by Taylor Swift my honorable mention. And my pick for episode one, Red Directive, is going to be Starting Over by Killswitch Engage. It evokes the promise of when Discovery was new, the possibilities were endless. It's got parallels with Michael and Book's relationship. It just has the promise that Discovery has always been undeniably its own absolutely beautiful thing. And the energy is through the roof. So Starting Over by Killswitch Engage.
All right. I'm not familiar with the song, but I like the thinking behind it.
You will get a chance because, like I said, we are going to be at least posting these to socials. I probably will build a YouTube playlist to go along with this season. So we do have producer John's pick for a song, which I think is a really good pick. And I had to immediately go look it up to make sure it was the song that I thought it was. And it is. And I hope we can get producer John's thoughts on this before this episode comes out. But producer John picked I Can See Clearly Now by Johnny Nash.
I can see clearly.
All right, folks. Well, that's our first bonus patron coverage episode of Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Episode 1, Red Directive, done and in the can. I want to say, on behalf of both Cameron and John, thank you so much for being a patron of Open Pike Night. You make this show not something that we have to do, but something that we love to do. I mean, obviously, all the callers and listeners do that, right? But you guys actually make this show something that doesn't cost us money to do every week. And that is huge. I can't tell you, as an independent podcaster, how much that matters. And we know you have a lot of choices when it comes to Star Trek podcasts. There are like a million Star Trek podcasts, and that might not even be exaggerated. And a lot of those are asking for support, and a lot of them deserve your support. So we're just really grateful that we get to be part of your Star Trek podcast patronage. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Cameron, have you got anything else for the folks before we get out of here tonight?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you want to hear more about our TNG thoughts, jump over to Green Shirt wherever you listen to your podcasts. And otherwise, you know, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening to us talk about Discovery. I'm so excited to watch the rest of the season. I hope it continues to be as fun as this episode was. If it is, I'm going to have so much fun talking about it with you guys here and with you, the listeners over on the Discord and the YouTubes and the Twits and the Grams and whatever they call them, right? Hello, fellow teenagers.
And, of course, Discovery has premiered with two episodes because they know we just can't wait. They know how Trekkies are. So if you are listening to this, the second episode is already available to you in your bonus patron podcast feed. So go check it out. I can't wait to talk about Season 5, Episode 2, Under the Twin Moons. It's been a long night, and the crew here at Open Pike Night has a lot to get done because, of course, our regular episodes are still coming out too. First Contact Day, of course, is tomorrow if you're listening to this on Drop Day. Be sure to check out our socials at Open Pike wherever you look. Go to openpike.com. There's some cool stuff that we're doing for First Contact Day this year. But that's going to do it for us. So remember, clean up after yourself. Don't forget to tip your servers. You can go anywhere you want, but you can't stay here.
And as a tease, one of my honorable mention songs next episode relates to our Kay Hanley-Tom Pulce interview, but not the way you think.
Ooh. I feel teased. Do you feel teased? I feel teased.
I said it and I feel teased.
It's such a tease.